My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Will and Bibby
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's ride. Kevin Harlan in 15 minutes right between the eyes.
Really good.
He's going to join us a little bit. It's not right between the eyes season. It's football, but Kevin ran around and did all the football games. All of them. Did the Niners first game. He did the Niners second game. He did the Monday night game. And during the Niner game, he handled the update desk.
Which is pretty funny.
When people's microphones weren't working.
Yep.
It was amazing.
It was awesome. Nate Burleson back in the studio. Let's go to Nate back in the studio.
You could hear Nate. Nate said,
I can't hear you.
I can't hear you. Yeah. You're like, you know what? We know. We could hear you, though.
Will Levis has thrown a touchdown.
You know who we're about to hear from? We're about to hear from the great Doc Pandia. Out to the River Islands guest line we go. Time for Cleared to Play. Take you inside the tent, get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. Proud to partner with UCSF Health on this segment and bring in Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, Dr. Nirav Pandia. Hey, Doc, what's going on?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're good, but I imagine your social media feeds are quite busy with all of these injuries. Must be football season. Debo Samuel, what do you want to tell our audience?
So, you know, I think in general, you know, Debo had a relatively healthy season last year, except for that scapular fracture, but these soft tissue injuries are what we were always concerned about. What we worry about a little bit more with him is that it's early on in the season. These calf injuries can sometimes take 3 to 4 weeks to get better. And as we're learning with Christian McCaffrey, sometimes a calf can become an Achilles issue. So obviously concerned about him. It seemed like he was able to get up and actually do another play after he sprained the calf. But obviously something to be concerned about, particularly early in the season with a lot of games coming up on turf this year for them.
And when you look at the calf, and we've talked about this before, not all calf injuries are created equally. Is it better off to have a higher calf strain, or does that portend possibly to potential knee issues?
I think a higher calf strain definitely is much safer. Very rarely will you see a high calf issue and a knee kind of go hand in hand. The reason why a higher calf issue is better is, number one, it's farther away from the Achilles, and it's more in the muscle. And we know that pure muscle injuries, as opposed to muscle injuries that occur where they transition in the tendon, are much worse. So higher up, probably just a muscle issue. Hopefully that's all it is, and we get less worried about it. Those are those 2 to 3 week injuries versus one that goes a little bit lower down. Those you get a little bit more concerned about. And those are the ones that sometimes draw out to 4, 5, 6 weeks.
Doc, let's talk Christian McCaffrey. Kyle Shanahan sort of indicated like nobody knows if he's going to be ready when the IR stint is up. When it's up, it's a turf game Thursday night immediately the next week. I mean, how are you looking at this? A 49er fan should think what in terms of an expectation here?
I think the expectation, without knowing the specifics, but just seeing how this has all played out, that this is going to be a 6, 7, 8 week long process. I think 4 weeks, they're going to maybe give him a go and see how he feels. But just because he comes out of IR, you know, 4 weeks from now, it doesn't mean he's going to go in and play in a full game. This may just be, okay, let's get him into practice. Let's see how the Achilles feels. Honestly, with most of these, knowing that in the general population, this takes about 3 months to get better, I would not be surprised if we see a prolonged Christian McCaffrey return. So if he comes off of IR and it's like, look, it's going to be another couple weeks, I don't think people should be concerned. I think that's the natural history of how long these take to get better, particularly at his position where he's explosive. And part of this is just, we just don't know how it's going to feel when he plays. He could look great. He goes out full contact practice and it's like, ooh, I need another couple weeks. So my fingers are crossed, but I'm not super hopeful this is going to be immediately Christian McCaffrey playing at week five after he's, you know, off the IR.
What's the ramp up like once he's able to be cleared? If it's after 6 weeks or 7 weeks or 8 weeks, is he going to need a certain amount of time to go through practice before he can even play at all?
Yeah, ideally you wouldn't. A lot of it has to depend on, you know, how conservative are they with him during IR? Are we going to see him in a boot? Is he going to potentially just be walking around? So let's just assume that they do nothing for the next couple of weeks. They're just shutting him down. He's just doing stuff in the training room. You might need a 2 to 3 week ramp up simply because of what he's doing. Now, if he was a lineman, he's a kicker, you could probably get him back out there pretty quickly, but he's essentially straining that Achilles every single play he's out there. So that ramp up may be, you know, 25% intensity that first week, then 50%. So it could be a couple week ramp up before we see full participation Christian McCaffrey, even when he comes off the IR.
Doc Pandya with us. And I know this question's been out there, but I think it's good to keep reiterating it because it's probably on the minds of our listeners and 49er fans. What is the risk whenever he's feeling healthy for recurrence and rupture?
Yeah, so the risk of recurrence, if you look at all athletes who get diagnosed with Achilles tendonitis, most studies show that risk is somewhere between 4 to 10%. So the vast majority of athletes who get Achilles tendonitis will not tear their Achilles, but that risk is not minimal. The risk of recurrence, as long as you allow this to calm down and there aren't any chronic issues in that tendon, meaning this isn't something that's going to leave degeneration in that tendon where it's going to be an issue that kind of goes on for a period of time, the risk of recurrence is pretty low. But I do get worried for a running back who's over the age of 28, who's had a lot of touches, are there already some changes in that tendon? So is he going to be more at risk to having pain and an impact on his performance? That's what I get worried about.
Tua Tagovailoa has been placed on IR with the Miami Dolphins after a third concussion, and this one looked to be almost as severe as the previous two. When you get to that third concussion stage, what is the not only the likelihood of another concussion to happen, but how much time it would take to recover once you have three of these?
Yeah, I think, you know, with each concussion, there is differing degrees of severity, but each time we've seen him on the field, these have been pretty significant concussions. We see him posturing on the field. Everyone's extremely worried about him. So each subsequent hit that brain takes is more susceptible to get another concussion. And then you're also kind of piling up all those secondary changes from having these repeated impacts. So I think the duration of which he's going to take to come back from this is going to be much longer. And secondarily, then that risk of getting it again is really, really high. And yeah, honestly, that risk of concussion, how it impacts you, is different at each position. Obviously, for a quarterback who has to process a lot of information at a high rate and has to kind of be dodging individuals, that time to come back from a concussion could be significantly longer than, say, someone who's not playing at a position where there's a lot of fast processing that has to take place. So could this be 4, 5, 6 weeks worth of recovery for him? Absolutely. It sounds like he's going to meet with outside neurologists. But I think this is at the point at which he needs to decide, what are the risks? What does it mean for my career? And I'm willing to take those. And that's a very personal decision for him. I don't think anyone else should be making that decision for him.
Doc, also, with everything going on with 49er pass catchers, Ricky Pearsall would be eligible week five. Is that crazy? Could he be ready to go by then?
I think absolutely he could. I mean, the fact that you saw him a couple days afterwards, you know, no sling, moving his arm around, it sounded like he's back in the training room and training. So I think from a physical standpoint, it sounds like everything would be in line for this soft tissue injury to heal. The key question is, what's going to happen when contact comes? Can he be aggressive? Can he handle any kind of discomfort there? But just purely from a muscle standpoint and the way he's moving his arms in the videos we see, I think it's absolutely possible. And it's pretty remarkable that that's what we're talking about, particularly with two of the offensive weapons potentially not being out for a couple of weeks. We may see Ricky Pearsall being that person who contributes, which is pretty crazy after a gunshot wound just a couple weeks ago.
It's wild. It's wild. Like, I was uncomfortable even asking you that question, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it just once again speaks to how lucky he was and how his body has been able to heal through this process. Just simply remarkable.
Doc, thanks, man. We love it. Appreciate you.
No problem. Take care, guys.
Okay, yep. There it is. Doc Pandya, and the proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health. All right.
I'm glad you followed up with that part of it because it is a little bit uncomfortable to talk about a guy. How soon can he play? He was shot. He was shot through the chest.
In the chest.
Right. And luckily it hit nothing major and it was a through and through, as they call it. And he was back at practice, what, a day later or 2 days later, just being there, not practicing. But
out there with his guys.
But now you have no McCaffrey and no Debo. And boy, it sure would be good to have your number, your first round draft pick available to be out there. And yeah, you can't rush a guy coming off a gunshot wound, but at the same time, you'd love to have him out there.
Trent skips camp. Brandon skips camp. Christian is forced out of camp. Christian hits IR. Ricky Pearsall is shot. Debo Samuel is injured. It's week three. The Niners are 1-1. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and you've got
that's a lot.
Isaac Garendo, who was only able to garner one snap.
I watched the film on that because you were very, very upset by that run. So I watched the film. You're right.
Just the way he approached it.
Not ready.
No. I mean, it was
not ready.
There was no hole, but it was like,
no, it's a zone read that he totally misread.
Yep.
There was a huge hole if he had waited like just a second longer, but he decided to dive into a defender's arms first.
I love when you dive into the film.
You were right.
You got me fired up right now. Yeah.
There's only one run. But,
whatever.
But yeah, you were right. All right. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app because it's fun. And you could do that wherever you find your favorite podcast. And while you're there, do that with the other shows as well, Steiny and Goo, Bonte and Joe. You can hear all of Brian Baldinger reacting to the 49er loss with the Morning Roast this morning. It was very, very good. Still ahead, Grandy's grades, but coming up next, Kevin Harlan on the call for everything. His reaction to what he has seen doing both games for the 49ers is coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Thank you. In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Second down, 9. Darnold getting messy, going deep, and he's got Jefferson. He's got Jefferson. It's a foot race downfield with Brown shifting gears, getting a block. That's 6. 97 yards. Holy smokes.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, continuing here on a Tuesday, Niner fans still licking their wounds a little bit, but we do know that our next guest right here on the River Islands guest line, Dibs, is someone who tends to put a smile on everybody's face.
Always.
That is Kevin Harlan, and I don't even know if you know that you're the voice of the Niners now. Let me think. You've done 2 Niner games. You did last night's game, and you handled the update desk on Sunday as well, we noticed. So you're officially doing all the games, Kevin.
It's my honor to do them. Believe me, they're a great organization. I always enjoy seeing that team play. They're loaded. They got some injury issues clearly right now. They're coming off a game where actually, you know, Minnesota is a lot better than advertised, kind of like New Orleans. The pundits, I think, underestimated those two teams pretty significantly. Minnesota is tough, and they've bolstered their defense. They've made some changes. They've got weapons on offense, as we saw on Sunday. And they have a quarterback, quite frankly, who's playing with a lot of confidence, and it didn't take long for him to kind of get in his lane and get going. And it was just one of those days for the Niners. They miss McCaffrey, clearly. I mean, he's the motor, as you all know, for that team. And when he's not there and he's not a part of what's going on, like all, you know, special, elite, great players, you know, it's incumbent on somebody to pick up the pieces and try to bring things together. And that's not easily done. It may have looked that way against the Jets, but it's going to be tough until he gets back. And hopefully it's sooner than later. And now Debo, we get Debo back out there too with his soft tissue injury. But when this team is whole, I still believe they're the best team in the NFC. I really do.
Yeah, pretty impressive game by Minnesota. And you talked about picking up the pieces with no McCaffrey, and you saw Jordan Mason do his thing now 2 straight weeks. What do you make of the young running back and the way he goes about getting those yards?
You know, he runs hard. He hits the hole. He has great vision. My goodness, he cuts and really knows when to cut. So the timing of making the move with the, you know, lead block and how the angle is being set for him, he's a master at it. I don't know how he went undrafted. I would say this. I think that the Niners kind of pride themselves on bringing in projects like this. It's been very clear with a variety of players, not the least of which was your quarterback. But this kid was undrafted and barely made a ripple coming out of Georgia Tech. But the fact that he has been in that program, knows the offense well, and knows his time is now, and the team needs him. I mean, he's a third-string back going into camp, and Mitchell's injured. We know about Christian. So, I mean, he's got to step up. And sure enough, he's done it now twice. And I don't think there's any stopping him. I think he has a great feel for what he needs to do. I think you've read and heard out there that Fred Warner kind of took him under his wing this past off season. And while he has worked out with the Niners and in their facility during these last couple off seasons, he worked with linebackers almost exclusively for a month this past off season. And clearly it's added a little bit of grit, a little bit of toughness to him, and it's showing right now, and they need it. So a quarterback's best friend is a good running game. They've got one, and we saw that. Again, Purdy answered the bell with his efficient play, but just not enough. And home openers are always great. You saw it Monday night against the Jets, and the Viking fans saw it Sunday against the Niners.
Kevin Harlan is with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Kevin, I wonder, because there's been a lot, right? There's the Ayuk holdout, the Trent Williams holdout. Then the season starts. There's no Christian McCaffrey. Now add Debo to it. You've had a chance, I would imagine, to visit a little bit with Kyle Shanahan through these first 2 weeks, and I wonder what you kind of gathered in terms of the state of the team and how he plans to go about attacking these challenges.
Well, you know, he's had challenges before, and he's always handled them well. My admiration for Kyle and the organization is pretty limitless, quite frankly, and they'll figure it out. I think when new roles have got to be taken, when bench guys now are getting more snaps or bench guys are becoming starters, you know, there's a change that ripples right through the team. And everybody's got to make an adjustment to a different degree. And I think that's kind of maybe the process they're going with, you know, right now. They didn't have Trent all camp, and he shows up a week out, and somehow, some way, this guy is superhuman, man, the way he can come back. And I know he was working out on his own. It's not football workout and team workout like, you know, you see in camp and everything else. But the fact that he can come in and only miss a couple of plays against the Jets and then do what he did against the, you know, the Vikings and a pretty good defensive front is pretty startling to me, quite frankly. And my respect for him is off the chart, as everybody's is. He'll be in Canton one day, and it's going to be a proud moment for the Niner organization when he gets in there. And then Ayuk, I think, is playing, you know, first of all, he's not in that football shape, and there is a difference. You can come and work on your core, and you can come after an off season of working with yoga guys and weight guys and run guys and meal guys and whoever else, the Dalai Lama, and you're until you're in that camp and in the everyday grind of practice and preparation and coaching, it's just not the same. And he's kind of in that stage right now, so his camp is kind of, I don't know how many looks he's getting, but clearly the production has been down from what we're used to seeing. I think that's just a blip, and he'll pick up, especially now that Debo may be on the side here for a bit, and he's going to have to. I mean, the moments of him kind of being in the background and not prominent for the first two games are over. He's got to step up, and he's got to kind of be like Juwan Jennings. Quite frankly, he's got to be reliable. He's got to be there. And I think he'll meet the challenge. And I would never underestimate the fact of the weight of that contract. That's a gigantic contract he has. Everybody's eyes are on him. The expectations have now grown. And my guess is he'll handle it. But like with anything in life, it's a change. And that's a change in so many ways. You've got to adapt, and he will, and this will be the team we all thought they'd be here in the next couple of weeks. But right now they've got to get at least another 3 weeks without Christian, and who knows how much longer without Debo. But they'll get back there, and they'll be fine, and they'll be the team we thought they were going to be heading into the season.
A little bit of survive in advance now for the Niners without Debo and Christian and the big guy who is still there, and the guy making tiny money, not the big money, is Brock Purdy. What have you made from Brock Purdy, having seen him twice now in this early season and where he is in his season?
I love him. He's wired the same way the great ones are. We talked to him the other day, and his answers are clear and efficient. His direction on answers is, you know where his compass is pointed. And I think, you know, all the quarterbacks with presence, and he has gained it even more so than when he, you know, first got the job some 26, 27, 28 games ago, going back a couple years. He's a confident kid, and he's got a lot going for him. And, you know, everybody is saying, well, you know, he's got his hands on the wheel of a Ferrari. Well, good for him. There are a lot of quarterbacks that have their hands on the wheels of a Ferrari, and they start shifting gears, man. They're all over the place. They're fishtailing, and they're ramming into the side rails and everything else. So, listen, he has got the those elements working for him. What I think is interesting for Purdy right now, beginning this week, is he has no Christian, no Debo. He's got a left tackle still trying to get his feet under him. He's got, you know, Ayuk trying to get his, you know, paces. And people kind of looking at him. And he's going to have to do maybe a little bit more. He's got this big contract, like you talked about, looming, because they're basically getting him for free. That's how they're able to sign Williams and sign Ayuk and get all these things done. But and the, you know, when the clock is ticking, they're going to have to pay this guy as your quarterback. He will solidify every positive thought that the organization has of him with what he does without a lot of air in those tires and a lot of gas in that tank, right? He's gonna have to maybe move a little bit and adjust and he can play the same way, but I mean he's gonna have to be lights out. And quarterbacks that make $40-50 million a year, that's the way they've got to play when they don't have every part at their disposal. And he's not gonna have the parts that make that team special. He doesn't have the engine and McCaffrey. He doesn't have that ubiquitous piece in Deebo Samuel. He's going to have to, you know, the offense is going to have to adjust, and he's going to have to be right there leading that adjustment. So these next weeks are incredibly revealing. And I think it will just solidify his place, not just for this season, but for the rest of his career, in how he handles this offense without having the main parts and the most headline-making guys at his disposal.
Kevin Harlan with us, Willard and Dibs. That's an interesting statement you just made there at the end, Kevin. You're confident that this is going to go well for him.
I am. I really am. I have great faith. And first of all, I think Kyle will continue to provide him with a call sheet and the game plan that will work as both see fit. And he couldn't have a better voice in his ear and a guy in his head than Kyle Shanahan. And I he's got that going for him. He's got the confidence of playing in a Super Bowl. He's got, you know, 22 wins in 27 games started in regular season play. I mean, this guy has done it with a lot of different players, including a Hall of Fame tight end and other parts that can emerge, like Juwan Jennings. And he's proven he can do it. And now he's going to have to, you know, really kind of, I wouldn't say carry, because the team is still, even with McCaffrey and Samuel gone, I mean, the team is still terrific. But this is where he's going to be tested as much as any time, because he doesn't have the things that make him and that offense special. And if he can survive this, and this team can get over that 500 mark, and he continues to play the way he is, and maybe he does a little bit more, I think that you can see what could be a very historical another quarterback in that line. I'm not saying that even with those other guys that he wouldn't be that guy anyway. I just think on the cusp of a big contract, and it's coming, that this puts all worries aside that he is the right guy in every form and fashion you want to try to craft that quarterback position. I just think he possesses all you need. I know that the tangible things like speed and size and all that stuff made him a seventh-round pick, and I get all that. But listen, and I know it's a tired, worn-out phrase, but you can't help but still see that there have been quarterbacks in this league like him that have gone on to become the best at the position ever. And I just think that when I think of the great quarterbacks, when I think of the guys that can look you in the eye, when I think of the guys that have a command and a presence and have a tireless work ethic and know they've got to always be working a little bit harder than anybody else in the league, I see that in him. He may not be the tallest. He may not have the rocket arm, although it looks to me like it's stronger. You know, he had the elbow last year, and he couldn't work out during the season because it was healing after the surgery. This year was a completely different offseason with core work and elbow work and arm care and all the things that these quarterbacks do. So I think he's got everything in his favor. He's got great momentum, and this is, I think, a moment where if there are critics, and everybody's got them, even the great Mahomes has them, if he has critics, you know, this is a way to really answer a lot of people and saying, well, the only reason why he survives and why he has this record is because he's got great talent. And agree, he's got as many good parts, if not the most, of any quarterback in pro football. But now he can kind of take all that he's learned, all that he's accomplished, and he can really, you know, stand out on his own merit and do the things that a lot of people project he can do. So I'm bullish on him. I think he's the right guy. He's got the right coach. He still has a lot of weapons, and they're all strong. And importantly, he's got number 24 in back of him, and that's the quarterback's best friend is that run game. So I think he's going to be fine, and I think the team is going to be fine in lieu of McCaffrey and Samuel not being there for 3 weeks or longer.
It will be interesting to watch here over the next few weeks. And you talked about weapons, and I think about the Niners, and the number one weapon that they have might be on defense, Fred Warner. What do you make of Fred's first two games? And do you start to think about Fred in terms of the pantheon of great linebackers here in the modern game?
Mike Singletary, command, vision, hitting, reading, can play the run and the pass, controls the defense. Has the charisma to do it. Durable. He's only missed one game, I think, in his pro career. I mean, he is everything you want in a middle linebacker. I don't know who would come close to him in pro football, quite frankly. There are guys that are younger who are emerging. Right now, he is at the very top of the list.
Kevin, you know, you've said some really nice things about Kyle Shanahan in this conversation. Having done the game last night as well, we've had some conversations today about Nick Sirianni. I'm certainly not asking for you to take a shot, but I would love your reaction to what happened last night and maybe also a little compare-contrast. Like, he's gotten under Niner fan skin a little bit, the fiery nature of the way he handles the sideline, and then the call at the end of the game last night has a lot of us scratching your head. How would you kind of compare and contrast Kyle and Nick?
Well, I did that game last night and in Philadelphia, so I got to see it firsthand, and it's rare. The word collapse is a very strong word, and I almost think of it in terms of losing a 20 or a 30 point lead, and that would look like a collapse. But to have Kirk Cousins coming off Achilles tear and still not really mobile and doing what he did in that frame with that defense, now listen, he's got a new defensive coordinator. There's still a lot of newness about what they're trying to do. They made the change there in the offseason. They got Vic Fangio, who's not a blitz guy, and he really sticks to his principles, and sometimes they can come back and get you, and they did last night. But Sirianni has been on the hot seat here for a while, and I don't know if it was coincidence or not, but Belichick was in the building last night. And, yes, he was doing the Manning cast, and I saw him walking on the sideline before the game. So I don't know why he was in the building, but he was. And I'm not saying anything about that it means anything. Had they won by 40, I would still mention that he was there because, people are after Nick right now. And, listen, he's been to a Super Bowl. They've had great starts. I'm not sure where him and the quarterback are on the page. They've got a new caller in Kellen Moore, who's come from the Chargers, and before that, Dallas. I still think that's a work in progress. Quarterback played well last night, but he turned it over again. He's had more turnovers than any other player in the league over the last year plus since the beginning of the 2023 season. So that's the problem. You can, at that position, when you're an elite quarterback and paid like one with that kind of team, you cannot turn the ball over. And he did again, and it hurt him. And I don't know, I from afar, you can sit there and think a lot of things. But there's no denying that there is a lot of turmoil in Philadelphia right now after last night, because they had that game and they were not able to close the door, and great teams always finish. And I kind of thought Philadelphia, coming into the season was maybe that kind of team. And, I guess when I think about John and Kyle, I think more in terms of long-term attention to detail, constantly evolving, looking for new ways, innovative. Listen, in anybody's town, the least appreciated guy is the head coach. But outside that market, when you take a look at the other 31 head coaches in the league, and you mentioned Kyle Shanahan, I don't know if there's another person in the league that would say he is not a top three NFL head coach. His record says it. The quality of the team says it. I still think they're the best team in the NFC. And I would say that and I don't like comparing these guys because the job is immense and it's very difficult. Everybody's got a different set of circumstances and injuries and an owner that might meddle or not meddle or just things going on that you never know about. And we're only 2 weeks into the season. You don't know what your team is like until you get to about week five or six. And there's more growth or the reverse between weeks one and two. So we've got two teams here, the Eagles and the Niners, who have lost in week two after winning in week one. And I don't think that is a telltale for any way they may be going or may not be going. I'm just saying that after you've seen that first week, after you've broken camp and the starters haven't played, you know, and you get them on the field and kind of see what you've got, I still think there's a fact-finding mission going into week two, but there's no doubt you learn more about your team from week one to two than maybe you do at the any other part of the team, and then you finally kind of put a period on that by week six. I think by week six, you know exactly what you have, what you can and cannot do, where you need to grow as you go down that road. And both those coaches, Sirianni with the Eagles and certainly Kyle with the Niners, I think both those coaches have a pretty good command of what they have. The question in Philadelphia is, will they be patient so they can kind of get off the block here and see what they've got until week six? Or does the impatient owner, and there were rumblings in the offseason about Philadelphia, right? I mean, there was a lot of talk. Would Sirianni survive? You know, they made a change with the coordinator on the offensive and the defensive side. And one more thing, they lost their offensive and defensive coordinator to head coaching jobs in the NFL. That's a lot of brain drain. Belichick went through it, certainly at New England, but they lost one guy to the Colts and one guy to the Cardinals. That's hard to replace two coordinators like the Eagles had to do. So I almost give them a little pass here because I think they're still, even at this stage, trying to collect themselves and get to back where they were a couple years ago, and that was as a Super Bowl team that just lost to the Kansas City Chiefs very, very late in the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Kevin, you're the absolute best, man. Thank you so much for making some time for us, okay?
My privilege. Thanks, guys. Great being on. Thank you so much, and I hope I get to see the Niners for another week coming up. They were fun on Monday and even on Sunday, quite frankly. That was a terrific game. It didn't end up the way that you wanted it out there, but it was enjoyable. That was a loud building, man. I'm telling you what, my ears are still ringing. And even Philadelphia last night, we're doing the game there, Kurt Warner and I were, and it was loud, but nothing like the Twin, like that downtown Minneapolis stadium. That indoor stadium was loud and very tough to communicate, I'm sure, both offensively and defensively for the 49ers.
God, Kevin, we're always rooting for you to have the Niner games as well, man. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, guys. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Kevin Harlan, and did you hear that, Philly fan? You were loud on a Monday night.
Sure.
But nowhere near as loud as people in Minneapolis at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a weekend.
No doubt, and 40% of those were wearing red.
Woo-woo! That's a good point.
Yeah.
There was a lot of red.
Yeah.
Thank you. And there were a lot of third downs that didn't go well, too. All right. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We're going to circle back to the start. First of all, coming up next, Grandy's Grades. We wait for this. We kind of would say that we're sort of built for this. And so we're going to do that coming up next, and then we'll circle back to which kind of arrogance gets you more, the Shanahan style or the Sirianni style. That's next on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
Can you sing with that voice?
Literally. I did Daddy Warbucks in middle school, and it was talk singing.
What I'm telling you, Kelly Savant.
Why sing?
That's singing.
On 95.7 The Game.
If you say so, Steve. If you say so.
Yeah. Sure. He's right. That's singing.
It's sort of. Sort of. I'm glad it is, because if it isn't, then I can't sing.
Yeah.
So anyway, glad you're with us. 888-957-9570 is the number. We got a bunch of stuff now, okay? A bunch of stuff to get to. Another little stat came across my view here. And you tell me if this doesn't rattle your cage, Dibley. We're going to do Grandy's grades here in just a second.
Okay.
Lowest average separation in the NFL through two games. So receivers.
Yep.
Lowest average separation. Number five, the New England Patriots, 3.1. Number four, the Tennessee Titans, 3. Number three.
Number three.
The Indianapolis Colts, also at 3. Number two.
Number two.
The Carolina Panthers.
Wow.
At 3.
Number one.
Number one. The San Francisco 49ers. 2.9.
Yards per route, basically, right?
Correct.
Man, I know that Brandon Ayuk is in the bottom five himself in average yards of separation per route. His is, I think, in the ones. Like, he's about 1 yard per route of separation.
One yard.
Yeah. And, you know, if you think about the first two games, you haven't had a lot of routes where you got guys running wide open. Mm. That's for sure.
Boy. You know what's crazy, though? I got another stat for you.
Okay.
Hey, Grandy, you want to do this little game show music? Give me a little game show music, if you would. A little game show music. Dan Dibley, how many of the top five quarterbacks in terms of passing yards in the NFL can you name? Top five passers on the board,
man,
in terms of passing yardage through two games. In fact, they are the only five quarterbacks who have thrown for over 500 yards through two games.
500 yards is the bar?
That's the bar. Okay. You got to go over the bar. How many have thrown for 500 yards this year? Top five answers on the board.
Well, this is hard because I know that a lot of the marquee quarterbacks are not off to great starts as far as numbers go. And I know passing in general is down a little bit. I'm going to have to lean on recency. And a guy who I know just threw for more than 300, and it's Brock Purdy. He's got 500 yards. He's got to be one of them.
Number one.
Number one?
Lowest separation in the league, most yards
number
in the league.
One.
Number
one.
Number one.
Oh, my God.
Number one. 550 yards, and that leads the NFL in passing yards so far this year.
Okay.
Just for, because that kind of drives the point home. But anyway, the other four, just for fun. Who do you
yeah,
think?
I mean, Baker Mayfield's got to be one of them. He's having a good start to.
Baker Mayfield is 10th with 474 yards.
10th?
Yeah.
Man. What about Derek Carr and their explosive offense?
Oh, that's a good guess. That is incorrect. Derek Carr is 13 with 443
13th?
Yards.
13th? 13th,
yes.
And he's thrown like 17 touchdowns.
Five yards per attempt,
five.
Derek Carr.
Yes,
oh,
five. Five touchdown throws, which is tied for the league lead.
Haven't they scored on every drive this year?
They have gone on a stretch of 15 consecutive drives with a
every
score.
Drive that he's led. I think he's gotten pulled maybe at the end.
Yeah, 15 for 15.
Man.
All right, what else? You got one more guess. You got two strikes on the board. You got Brock Purdy, but you're 0 for the rest.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Man, how about quarterback they have this week coming up, Matthew Stafford?
Number two. Very good.
Okay.
533 yards.
Well, they've been trailing, so I figured that they've been throwing it a lot.
Yeah, good point.
Man, I want to say, how about C.J. Stroud, my quarterback? That's my quarterback!
Oh, narrow miss. C.J. Stroud, 494 yards.
Come on.
He is number 7 in the league. I'd like to thank you for playing my stupid game.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
And we do have some parting gifts for you over here in the side closet. You
can go
in there.
Can I go home? Is that what you're saying?
Pick out a prize. Okay, yeah, cool. Thank you for playing. Gardner Minshew, Jared Goff.
Hang in there, big guy.
And Lamar Jackson. Those are the other three, along with Purdy and Stafford. Number 1 and 2 in the league.
Yeah, some of your garden variety names that you're used to, your Mahomes and your Allen and even Tua, who I know he didn't play two complete games, but his number's been pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. And then the calling card for Brock over the last year or so, quarterback rating and yards per attempt. And he's still high on those, but has not established himself as the leader in either of those categories as of yet. He is 5th with average per attempt, and he is, as far as quarterback rating, he is 9th at 96.3. There's where you'll get Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield. They are 1 and 2.
Gotcha.
Right now in quarterback rating.
Yeah, Carr and Mayfield, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Bit of a topsy-turvy week, too.
Everybody saw that coming. You want to know where Patrick Mahomes is in terms of quarterback rating?
Probably like 12th.
Scrolling. Patrick Mahomes is 15th.
Jeez.
15th in quarterback rating, tucked in between Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, and right behind Gardner Minshew and Justin Fields.
Mm.
Everybody saw that coming?
Yeah.
All right.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.